Right now it is time for Judy Wertman and Food for Mood. Judy joins us on a Thursday morning. Judy, of course, is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Judy is also the author of Simon Loses His Tummy, the Kindle edition, and also her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Good morning, Dr. Wertman.
Good morning to both of you, and we're also suffering from the same heat advisory. Just a question of getting through the next few days.
And then it will be beautiful. You know what is absolutely, we are all having, and I'm digressing mildly, but last week you were having dog issues dog tummy issues, and coincidentally Marshall was having dog tummy issues at the very same time. And today I am having dog issues, though not tummy issues. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because obviously it jacks the stress level. And equally obviously, you know, once you get off onto one of those things, it's really hard to get yourself calmed down. And I just want to take advantage of your years of experience with this, because we've got a lot of people, not who are all having animal issues, but who are, the technical term is really fatutzed. And, you know, there is good food that can help them. And there is bad food that really can't help them. And after all of this time of, I'll call it brainwashing for lack of a better term, most people reach for the stuff that can't help them.
You know, you make a very good point, Jill. And I as you were describing this, I recall reading, I guess maybe it was yesterday, in the New York Times with the food section, where one columnist was talking about how he really craves vegetarian meals, and he described having a longing for noodles or very starchy vegetables, you know, like potatoes or squash or rice dishes. And I was thinking to myself, you know, not only are vegetarian meals obviously very good for you because they're certainly lower in fat, especially the animal kind of fat, the saturated fat, that's not good for us, but obviously if you're eating a lot of these vegetables, you're getting an array of nutrients you might not get if you're just eating, you know, a slab of steak. But then it occurred to me, as you're talking, maybe one of the reasons he's also craving these vegetarian meals is because when he eats the carbohydrates, the noodles or the rice or the potatoes or the squash or what have you, he's also making serotonin because it's made when you eat carbohydrates, and he's feeling calmer. So when he goes home after a day of work and he eats, you know, a big plate of, let's say, vegetables and sorbet noodles or something, he feels good. And he thinks, well, it's just the vegetables, but it's not. It's really the fact that by eating that way, he is making more serotonin and he's calming down. And one of these days he might recognize it, but I find that even myself, when I'm dealing with stress and my dog, didn't know what was going on with her, that I find myself almost automatically reaching for a piece of bread or a handful of breakfast cereal. It's like, I wouldn't say I'm addictive because I can stop with a handful of breakfast cereal, but I find that I really need to have it, just the way if somebody has chronic headaches, you know, reaches for the Tylenol, because it really does work. I mean, it doesn't take away the cause of the stress. Obviously, my dog gastrointestinal problems are not going to be solved by my eating a bunch of cinnamon cereal, but it does make it easier to cope. And I think that is what people don't understand, about the effect of food. Again, if something is happening in your life that's causing you to be stressed, and God knows we all have it chronically at this point, that stress is out there unless there's something you can do about it. But your ability to deal with it, to say, I think I can get through this, or figure some way of dealing with it, or simply accepting it, or just calming yourself down, is really based on having more serotonin. And that is made so fast and so simply by having a fat-free or very low-fat carbohydrate. Again, I keep boxes of cereal. I think Marshall does the same thing in my kitchen, because if I have a quarter of a cup of some breakfast cereal within 20 minutes, I'm feeling, okay, maybe I can manage this. Maybe I can cope. Maybe it's not as bad as I think it is. Maybe my vet will finally call me back, you know?
Exactly. But it's something weird in my experience has happened to brains in the past 15 years or so. Hello.
Sorry.
That's fine. And I think that it is, in no small part to the screens that we have been given and the shrinking of the screens. But when you are waiting, when you're trying to solve something, when you are looking for the vet to call you back, and, if you are in a state of heightened anxiety, whatever the problem is going to have, if it's an animal, they're going to feel it. If it's, your burning kitchen, then it's going to get more consumed in flame. Whatever it is going to be worse for your inability to cope, so to speak. So it's almost like the old put your oxygen mask on first.
That's right.
You've got and that, again, as you so aptly put it, yeah, everyone's living with stress. And I think if you line 10 people up, 9.3 of them would say that they are coping with more, they're doing the best they can, and they're coping with more than they can manage. And the other 0.7, you probably can't. Probably can't even talk. They're probably just blithering.
Yeah, and one of the problems is that people say, "Oh, okay, you're eating junk food. You're stressed, and therefore you're going to a convenience store, the supermarket, and loading up on potato chips and cookies." But that, and therefore you shouldn't be eating those foods. But you should not be eating those foods. But there are an enormous, almost unlimited array of foods that will decrease your stress and, by the way, nourish you. I mean, a sweet potato or a baked potato or some breakfast cereal or some whole grain bread or some rice or some, noodles, they are not, they're low in fat or don't have any fat at all. Some of them have, nutrients, a lot of them, like something like a sweet potato. They work quickly because they don't have fat and they're digested rapidly. And you will feel better afterward. And by the way, you don't have to eat very much. This is the other aspect of it. You don't, and I keep coming back to this analogy. If you have a headache, even a migraine, and you really are desperate to get that pain relieved, you certainly do not gulp a jar of Advil or Tylenol or aspirin or what have you until the headache goes away, because in that case you probably would be in the emergency room having your stomach pumped. No, you take the dose, and then even though it really it requires a lot of discipline, you have to wait. I mean, it's not an instantaneous pain relief response. It just doesn't happen unless you've got a shot of morphine. Okay, you have to wait until it has an effect, and it does. As soon as the Tylenol is digested, gets into your bloodstream, goes into the pain receptors, you are going to feel better. The same thing is true with eating. You don't have to eat a bushel of potatoes or a box of breakfast cereal to get that relief. You just simply eat the dose that you need, which is maybe about 30 grams of carbohydrate, and then you have to force yourself to wait. And if you can do something that is also tranquilizing, it makes you more tranquil during that time, like meditation, if you can, or you're taking a walk or doing something to, and additionally, relieve your stress, that's fine. But you just have to wait, and nobody talks about that. So they talk about binge eating. Well, what's the point? You don't binge on Tylenol. You simply take the dose and then let nature take its course in your body.
Right, and the first thing that we have to re-educate, is that carbohydrates aren't always a bad thing.
They're a good thing. I mean, can you imagine how stressed this world would be if we couldn't eat carbohydrates?
No, because
I would last about 30 milliseconds.
Except that it is considered, again, the brainwashing has been very effective.
Yeah, I unfortunately, it's something I think that you would say. People believe something. It doesn't mean that it's factually correct. And if they believe that carbohydrates are bad, fine, believe that. But factually, you're wrong. And if people believe that they can go through life without eating carbohydrates and not be stressed, fine. People believe in all sorts of things, like the world is flat. But the fact is that the only way your brain is going to make serotonin is when you eat carbohydrates. And the other fact is that women who tend to have much greater sensitivity to being depressed and anxious than men happen to have less serotonin in their brains than men. And so we perhaps need more carbohydrate. And so if a guy says, well, I go all through my life and I can just live on steak and chopped liver, fine. But I'm a woman, and I need the carbohydrates because my brain requires it. And if you want me to be nice to you, you better let me eat them.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wertman. Food for Mood.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And you can hear Judy, of course, every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio and rebroadcast on the weekend. And also at robinhoodradio.com, click on Food for Mood with Judy Wertman.